We stand here together. As a family, we join hands together. Lifting praises to the Father above for sending his Son.
All right, good evening and welcome to another study on Fighting for Family. I'm Pastor Andrew McAfee, pastor of White Oak Independent Baptist Church in Warrior, Alabama. And we'll get right into the study tonight with a word of prayer. Your Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. God, we thank you for being a great God and a great Savior to us. Thank you for being our friend. Father, thank you for your precious word, God, that helps guide us and lead us. And Father, tonight as we study more on the home, and God, as we try to fight for our families, I pray you please give us wisdom, Lord. And guidance, Father, help us to be obedient to your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week I kind of got hung up there for a little while on some of the attacks on the home. And we see how the things of society and the devil's been very strategic in using different groups through the years and different parties to try to attack the home and marriage, the things that God has set forth for us in the home. And so tonight I want to get back on track here with looking at Psalms chapter 127, Psalms chapter 127 and verse number 1. If you're turning there in your Bible, you turn there with us, Psalms 127 verse 1. The Bible said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And so I want to ask the question tonight on what is a home? And look at some things that should be seen in the home. A home should be a place of peace and safety. It should be a place of joy. It should be a place of refuge. It should be a place of comfort. It should be a place that people are not afraid to go to, where they're excited to be at home, where they're excited, a place where a father that is out working all day and a husband, a place that he looks forward to coming home and getting some peace and quiet away from this world where he's fought the devil all day and fought against sins and fought against temptations. And a place where he can go to be with his family. It ought to be peace and quiet there in the home. And it ought to be a place for a mother and a wife and to have a family there that where the husband provides and she feels safe and she feels comfort in her home. And a place for the children where they ought to feel safe as well. A home should not be a place where they're afraid to be and afraid to have their dad come home or afraid to have their mother there. It's a tragic thing to hear of stories like that. And so if we're going to have a home that pleases God, it has to be a home that he is in charge of. Jesus has to be the one that is over the home. He has to be the one that's in the home. Everything should be about him. A home is more than just a place where we eat and sleep. If it's just a place where you eat and sleep, it's a house. But a home should be more than that. It should be a place of all those things that we listed a second ago. Now, whenever we studied back in 2 Kings chapter 20, and we looked at Hezekiah, and he was told to get his house in order, and later on he let the enemy in his home to see the things in his home. And the question was asked, what was seen in thine house? What have they seen in thine house? Isaiah asked Hezekiah. And so I want to look at tonight for a few minutes on some things that should be seen in a Christian's home. And we'll see how far we get tonight. But that question was asked, so I want to consider that tonight. So the first thing I'd like to say, we find here in verse number 1 of Psalms 127, except the Lord build a house. They labor in vain that build it. And so, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ must be seen in our homes. And we talk about posting it on the doors, and we talk about putting it in the house everywhere, scripture signs. But the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be more than just that on a wall. He needs to be involved in every decision in the home. He needs to be involved in every plan of the home. Every aspect of the marriage, of the children, of the discipline, of everything that we do, he needs to be involved in. Jesus Christ must be seen in the home. There's a sign that we've seen in homes before, and I'm sure you've seen them. And if you have the sign, there's nothing necessarily wrong with having that sign there. But the premise behind the sign or the idea might be a little flawed. It could be a plaque that says, Jesus is the unseen guest at every meal, the unseen listener in every conversation. And while that plaque may sound good for and look good in a Christian's home, Jesus Christ being a guest is a problem. He doesn't need to be a guest, and he doesn't need to be unseen. Now, I realize that we can't physically see him, but we can see the evidences of him. And so Jesus Christ needs to be seen in the home. He doesn't need to be a guest. A guest is somebody that comes and they stay for a little while and then they leave. They get asked to leave. They're not a permanent resident there in the home. Well, Jesus Christ cannot just be a guest in our home. He cannot just be somebody that we have over on Sundays or Wednesdays or occasionally when somebody comes by, we try to have Jesus there. He needs to be a member of the family. He needs to be the head of the home. I realize when we start talking about the order of the home, we say the husband is the head of the home. But if the husband is truly the head, then we're messing up. We're off on the wrong foot already, because Jesus Christ needs to be the head of the home as he's the head of the church. And so Jesus Christ does not need to be a guest in our home. He needs to be a part of the family in the home. He needs to be a part of every decision. He needs to be involved with every person's life in the home. And we want to see our children get saved at a young age and fall in love with the Lord. But in order for them to even get saved at a young age and then fall in love with Jesus, they need to see him more than just on Sundays and Wednesdays. They need to see his presence and his working, and they need to see us as parents talking to him on a regular basis every single day. Because he's not just a guest in the home. He's not just somebody that we run to when we're in trouble. He's not just somebody that we try to grasp to when we need help to pull out of some kind of financial problem or some kind of sickness. He's somebody that should be there every day. His presence should be there. I mean, we should talk to him on a daily basis. Every decision that's made ought to be made with Jesus Christ in mind. And just as a husband and wife, if they're going to make it in a healthy relationship, they need to talk to one another. They need to communicate. I mean, a home is not going to be a very good home if the husband and wife never speak to each other. But yet we have homes today that we go weeks and weeks and months and maybe even years without seeing Jesus Christ in the home. When's the last time a husband and wife stood there together, our children with their parents, and a decision needed to be made, and somebody stopped and said, let's ask the Lord Jesus Christ what he thinks about this? I mean, when's the last time you've seen that in a home? Because he's a part of the home, because he is an intricate, important head of that home. And so instead of just making a rash decision or arguing back and forth or trying to debate with one another on what to do, we stopped and just said, hey, why don't we ask the Lord Jesus Christ what he thinks about it? Because after all, we're bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to him, and our family should be dedicated to him and to his word. And so we ask him what to do. Jesus Christ, must have the preeminence in our home. I want you to look at an illustration over in the book of Exodus, chapter number 10, And look with me there in verse number 21, Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 21. The Bible said, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. That's pretty dark, a darkness that you can actually feel. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light into their dwellings. I mean, this is a picture of the Christian's home in a cold, dark, cruel world. I mean, darkness that can be felt. You can't help but look around and see what's going on in society and going on in our government and all these cities, and I'm telling you, it's a darkness that can be felt. But as a child of God, we have a light And that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to be seen in our home. There ought to be something different about your home. And the difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not your intellect. It's not because you're a great person or I'm a great person. We're absolutely nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he must have the preeminence in the home. He must have the preeminence in every decision, in every action of the home. And in doing so, we're teaching our children by example. We're teaching them by example and by actually practicing and performing these things, that we do reverence and we do respect what God has to say. We respect what the Bible has to say. We teach our children that Jesus Christ has preeminence in our home. And he is a decision maker in this home. And we look to the Word of God and we find out what he wants us to do. And not just on Sundays and Wednesdays when we go to church, but we do it throughout the week. And we have Bible studies with our family. And we do Bible devotions and we have family altar. And I believe in doing this, not only are we showing them, but we're living it. I mean, oftentimes we talk about, well, we're trying to show our kids how to do this. Well, in doing that, we're actually doing it. I mean, whenever we have something that's going on, we need to say, let's pray about it. I'll give you an example. Just in our home a couple years ago, my daughter wanted a playset. And I said, you know what, we really don't have the finances for it right now, but I'm sure we could come up with it. But I tell you what, let's pray about it. Let's pray and ask the Lord about it. This was almost 2 years ago or more, and the Lord provided the funds, and she prayed every night. She's 5 years old now. She was 3 or 4 then. And prayed, Lord, would you please give us a playset. And we told her that, trying to teach her that, listen, everything we have comes from God, and we need his wisdom on it. And so the Lord provided the funds. She got a playset, and to this day, when she prays before she goes to bed at night, this was 2 years ago, she prays for her missionary that she's responsible for praying for. We each have one in our home. And she prays for her brothers and sisters. She prays for her mom and dad. And she'll pray for whatever's on her little heart that day. And before she closes out that prayer, she said, Lord, I want to thank you for my playset. And that made a great impact in her life. And, you know, some critical brethren might say, well, you know, you could have just went out and bought it. Listen, I have nothing outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? She prayed that, and I turned right around in my secret place, and I prayed, Lord, would you please provide for me to buy her a swing set? And so you know what? God provided and proved to that little girl that he can answer prayer. And I never, ever, ever want her to think anything else. I would love for my children to grow up, and I would love for me and my wife to continue to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's everything. He's absolutely everything. And so he needs to have the preeminence in the home. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. I know I probably messed that up. I don't have it right here in front of me. But it's all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction in righteousness. And so we take a passage like Exodus here, where we see there's total darkness, and we see that Jesus Christ, we see that the light here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time the children walk through the doors of our home, every time they come in, they ought to see a light that they did not see wherever they came from. I mean, if they're having to go out, or a father's got to go out and he's got to go to work and those kind of things, and he might have to put up with the devil, man, there ought to be a light in our home, a place of just comfort, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he absolutely has the preeminence. He needs to be the light in our dwelling. He needs to be the one that shines in our home. There ought to be a contrast between our home and what the world has going on today. There ought to be a major difference. And we're going to go over several more things that ought to be seen in the home over the next few weeks, and talk about love and joy and peace and all those things that Jesus Christ is. And so this first one we're going over kind of, you know, he's all in all. and all these other things are encompassed in Him. But we're going to go over more detail of some of those other specific things that ought to be seen in the home. But first of all, we need to make sure that we have Him in the home. And in order to do that, Mom and Dad, you need to know that you're saved. You need to make sure you're saved. Jesus Christ, God is love, and He gave His, God gave His Son Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary to save our soul. And I'm thankful for it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That gift was His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You cannot have that light in your home as individually if you're not saved. Now, there might be somebody else in your home that's saved that can help reveal that light, and Jesus Christ can live through them. But, man, what a blessing it is to have a mother and a father that are saved and born again, and children that are saved. And then at a young age, they see the light of Jesus Christ. And maybe our prayer would be that they would get saved at a young age and they would fall in love with Jesus. Because they know that He's everything. They know that we go to Him for every little thing. It'd be a foolish thing to say that we need to not go to Him for something if it's something small. We need to go to Him for everything. And we need to teach our children that. And we need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ for absolutely everything. And there's only two places that the Lord Jesus Christ can truly shine, and that's in the church and in the home. And if He's not shining in those two places, then He's not shining anywhere on this earth. He needs to be seen, of course, in the church and in the home. The children of Israel had light in their dwelling. And I want to ask you tonight, do you have light in your dwelling? Do you have light in your home? The Bible said in John 8, verse 12, I believe it is, He said, I am the light of the world. And He needs to be seen in our home. He needs to be shining in our home. And so I pray that He is that to you. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18. Let's look at that real quick. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. They're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ should be seen in our home. All right, Colossians chapter 1. All right, Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 says, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. I mean, Jesus Christ is to have the preeminence in every single thing, in every part of a Christian's life. And specifically speaking, we're talking here about the home. There should not be one day, not one day in the life of a Christian that goes by without Jesus Christ being mentioned in the home. There should not be one day that goes by that we do not talk to Him. There should not be one day that goes by that we do not spend time with Him. He ought to be the first thing on our mind when we wake in the morning. He ought to be the last thing on our mind when we go to bed at night. I believe it would keep us out of a lot of trouble if He would have the preeminence in the home. There'd probably be a lot less things that we would allow our eyes to see on television and on our devices through social media or whatever the case might be. There are probably a lot less things that we'd allow our ears to listen to in the home and conversations that we'd have and attitudes if Jesus Christ was to have the preeminence. And He absolutely should have the preeminence in everything in our home. And I believe that something we need to take away from this maybe study tonight is that we ought to teach our children, and we ought to have the confidence in Christ in every decision in our home. I mean, financially, I believe that there's times that we go through financial difficulties and we go through decisions that need to be made, and we need to be very, very careful to talk to the Lord about these things. I know that we want to teach our children these things, but adults, if you're going to teach your children how to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ and absolutely everything, and for Him to have the preeminence, then you must believe it yourself. You must believe that He can help you, and you must put it to practice, and you must talk to Him about everything. We can't just tell our children, well, why don't you just pray and ask the Lord about it, and see if he'll answer your prayer. You can tell him that, and you should, but you ought to do it yourself. You ought to believe that God can answer that prayer. And when it's you and your wife and you're looking over some bills or you're needing to make some major decisions, you need to take her by the hand and you need to say, let us ask the Lord Jesus Christ about this thing. Let us ask our Heavenly Father and see what He has to say. And because He is a part of the home. He's an integral part of the home. And so we ought to put those things to practice. And just as I mentioned a moment ago, if we really believe that He could do it and we really believe that He was there, we really believe that He was that member of the family that's always there, that He's in every room, in every conversation, and we appreciate that He's there. I believe there'll be a whole lot less sin in the home if we really thought about it. I've often talked about our relationship with Christ, with Him living on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit of God lives in us if you're saved. And talking about somebody who might smoke a cigarette or drink poison, alcohol, or whatever the case might be, or look at something they ought not to. And I compare that to the Word of God. You know, Jesus Christ is the Word of God here. He's the living Word. The Bible said that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He's the second part of the Trinity, the Word of God is. And so I said, next time you smoke and next time you light up a cigarette, and why don't you open your Bible and let the ashes just fall on the pages? Why don't you let the ashes fall on the Word of God and then just kind of brush them off? And next time you want to take a drink of liquor or some poison to your body, why don't you drink that and let the drops fall on the pages of the Word of God? He said, Brother Andrew, I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. Well, I tell you what, when you allow that filth in your home and you allow things to come across that television and you allow yourself in the secret place in your home to get on the internet or get on social media and you allow those things to come in your eyes, that's exactly what you're doing. Jesus Christ is living in you, but He ought to have the preeminence in your home. He ought to be shining on the outside, just like that light we talked about over there in Exodus. He ought to have that in our home. And we teach our children that, but we believe it also. And we must practice it. We need to get to a point in our homes where He is mentioned every day. We get a point in our home where the songs, the hymns, the spiritual songs and psalms that we read in the Bible are being sung in the home. That we're having them playing throughout the home. I mean, where we have a mindset that Jesus Christ has a place here. Not only does he have a place, it's a permanent place. And we want Him there, and we invite Him there to stay, and we want Him to have the preeminence in our home. And so I ask you that question tonight on what is seen in thine home. Now we find when Isaiah asked Hezekiah that, he's asking him because the enemy had shown up. And the enemy wanted to take the things from Hezekiah's home into captivity. We notice that he showed the treasures, the armory, the precious things, the Bible says. All those, his sons. And the enemy took everything. He took the precious things, the treasures, the armory. He took Hezekiah's sons. He took his children. Hezekiah let his guard down. And the things that were seen in his home that the Bible would call treasures and precious things were taken. And I'm telling you right now that the devil and your flesh can rob you of those things in your home in a heartbeat. You say, well, nobody's going to come in and take my Bible. The way the world's going, we don't know what's going to happen. They might come in and physically take your Bible one day. But that's not happening right now. Thank God for it. But what can take your time and what can take this Bible away from you is that phone. You say you preach on that a lot. You preach on those devices a lot. I know, because they're stealing our time with God. They're stealing His preeminence in the home. That television, them phones, the distractions, they steal the preeminence. You can get up in the morning and that's the first thing you look at instead of talking to God, instead of talking to your Savior. And then next thing you know, you've gone the entire day and you're getting ready to lay your head down on the pillow and you haven't talked to Him and you haven't read His Word. You haven't spent any time with that person, that wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your home. Now, at that point, you just made Him either a guest or a member of the family that's been shunned because you haven't talked to him and you haven't let him talk to you. You've gone an entire day without doing that. And so, if we were to say, what is seen in thine home? What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? I mean, every day of the week, what is seen in thine home? If somebody was to spend an entire day, I know we've heard these sayings before about what if these walls could talk? And, you know, there's some Bible stories about that in the Bible as well. And so we hear about those things, but what if your walls could talk? What if they could tell us about your day today? As your, whenever, whatever day it is you're watching this, what if the walls of your home could speak and tell us about your day in your home? What would they tell us? Would they tell us that we talked to Christ? Would they tell us that He talked to us and He spoke to us through His Word? Would they tell us that we talked to our children about Him? That we sat down as a family and had family altar and family devotion? Or would the walls tell us that we were occupied on our phone all day in social media? Or would they tell us that we looked at the television all day long? Or would they tell us that there was bickering and fighting back and forth and arguing with the children and yelling? What would your walls tell us about what is seen in thine home? And what we need to see is the Lord Jesus Christ having the absolute preeminence in the home. It's a tragic story of what happened to Hezekiah. He lost everything. He lost all of his treasures and his precious things. And man, this Word of God is a precious treasure. Our children are treasures. The Bible said they're an heritage of the Lord. And I go back to the verse we started with when we started this study in Psalms chapter 127 verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I want to tell you tonight, child of God, except the Lord build the house, you're going to labor in vain when you build it. The Lord Jesus Christ has to have the preeminence. It's a must. And so that's the first thing I believe that needs to be seen in every home. The Lord Jesus Christ needs to be seen in our home. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us, God. Thank you for being a great God and a great Savior. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for the opportunity to come tonight and give this study. Father, I pray it's a blessing to someone somewhere. We thank you for the testimony of those that we have heard from that said it's been an encouragement to them. And Father, as we continue to look at this, God, may we examine our hearts and our homes. And Father, if there be something that's not right, God, we just repent and get right with you, Father. Get the thing fixed so that we could please you, Lord. What a much better place we would be in. Father, to have your blessings in our home. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As a family, we join hands together, lifting praises to the Father above for sending His Son.